Great. So welcome back to the Share Impact podcast. I'm really excited to have Mandeep Kaur from Tribes for Good. Welcome, Mandeep.
Thank you.
It's really exciting. I'm really, really, really pleased that you've been able to join us on the Share Impact podcast. Mandeep, tell us whereabouts you're actually calling in from.
So I'm calling from Mumbai, India.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So it's always great to have, and I think you're probably the first person we've had from India on the podcast. That's really super exciting. But your team is actually international, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. So my team members are in Paris as well as Toronto, Canada.
Yes, that's super exciting. And I love it when we have guests who have international teams around the world. So we'll learn and hear more about that in a little while. But would you like to just get started and tell us a little bit about Tribes for Good and why you guys set it up?
So Tribes for Good aims to help individuals transition to the social impact space. And this is done through experiential learning programs in India.
Fantastic. And so why did you set this up? Why did you feel that there was a need to help people kind of enter the social enterprise space or industry?
Correct. So 4 years back, I was looking to work with nonprofits in India. Mm-hmm. However, when I started looking for a relevant organization, I found it was very difficult for me to find one, a cause that I really liked and the work which is meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. So I found that transitioning from the corporate career, having 6 years of experience and bringing that to the space, nobody was really happy about it or encouraging me to go about it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start understanding the space through volunteering and pro bono. So I started working with organizations in the space and started mapping out the ecosystem. So I learned that there are different entities. So there's nonprofit, there is a social enterprise, there is impact investors, there are CSR firms, and also there are third-party organizations which help in capacity building. Mm-hmm. So when you look at social innovation, it's not just nonprofits or charity. There are different entities out there. However, there is no one consolidated forum or a website where it becomes easier for people to look up for organizations and transition. If you look at people who want to become social entrepreneurs, there are so many fellowships out there. So you can apply for Ecoing Green, you can apply for many of them, Acumen Fellowship. But for people who want to have a job, who want to work in this sector, not as entrepreneurs, but as employees, there wasn't nothing much. Mm-hmm. So hence, after 2 years of struggle, I was able to start consulting different organizations because I wanted to work in different sectors, find the sector that I really liked, and then get into it. Mm-hmm. And during the course of time, I saw many people reaching out to me and asking me that how have I transitioned and how much information do I have about the space for people who were looking for a meaningful career. So this went on for quite a while. I used to informally tell them, okay, do this. Or which sector do you like? Have you seen the operations of the organizations? Have you gone and seen the consumers, the beneficiaries of the products? So I used to give this information just like that, over a cup of coffee or, over a networking dinner. Then I realized that there is a need for structure to help people transition to the space or deepen their knowledge about the space. Mm-hmm. Hence, Tribes for Good came into picture.
I think that's so exciting and also really important because you're absolutely right that there's a lot of funding and a lot of support for the entrepreneur and the person that wants to go into the space and set up, as a founder, set up their organisation. But I've not seen any programmes, apart from obviously yours coming in contact with you recently, where there's that focus on those people that actually want to go as employees into the space and kind of develop their careers and their experience in social enterprises specifically because they've got that passion and commitment for the good that those organizations do but aren't particularly interested in or aren't ready for being an entrepreneur, or maybe that's not their career path. So I think that's a really interesting take, and recognition of the gap in the market rate, basically, about, you know, it's not all about becoming an entrepreneur, or it shouldn't be all about becoming an entrepreneur. That suits a certain part of society. It doesn't suit everybody, and lots of people have skills they want to contribute in other ways, but still need that employment and want to be employed in the space, and kind of can see that step that they're taking.
Correct. And also, before starting your path as a change maker, it's very important to understand which is a sector that I really like, that I'm really passionate about, because this sector works on passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what are the skills that I have or I need to acquire to have a sustainable career in this space.
Yeah. So is it sort of yourself, sort of in that sense, talking about people, you know, if you're coming from a finance background or a commercial background or marketing, maybe your expertise is in customer service, and, you know, maybe you've got technical skills in a particular area, but you're looking now to apply those, not just in a corporate sense, but actually in a social enterprise that has a particular focus, and it's kind of aligning your values and your purpose to that so that you can apply those technical skills.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and I just think that's so exciting, and I hadn't quite appreciated before this call even that that's where you focused on. I thought that, and I know we've spoken before, but I'd kind of assumed, and this obviously says a lot about me being an entrepreneur as well, assumed that you support specifically those people that want to become entrepreneurs but need those first few steps. And I think it's really exciting actually hearing from you that it's actually supporting that, and it could be entrepreneurs, I suppose, but predominantly you're looking at those people who want to become employees in the space, which I just think is super exciting.
Yeah.
So tell us about the actual program and the process that you take people through when they join Tribes for Good.
So if you look at the world right now, everybody wants instant gratification. So we are in a world wherein we want to see the results right now. And people or individuals are not ready to invest 1 year or more. They don't really have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are looking at people who want instant gratification, our courses or our programs have to be such wherein this element comes into picture. So hence, our programs are designed as 3-day, 5-day, and 7-day programs. These are bridge programs which help in kickstarting careers in social impact space.
Mm-hmm. So where do your programs take place and what actually happens on those programs?
So right now the programs happen in Mumbai, India. So when a participant signs up for a program, they come to one place in Mumbai wherein, you know, they meet a group of participants who are interested in this space. There are three things that happen in the program, be it 3-day, 5-day, or 7-day program. The first step is discovering your role as a change maker. So it's extremely important to understand who you are, what are the skill sets you have, and how you want to use that skill set to bring in a better solution or make the world better.
Mm-hmm.
So this is done through a leadership, international leadership coach, who will sit one-on-one with the participants to chart out a career path for the individual participant. After this is done, we bring in trainers and experts from the domain, from the social innovation space. So these are companies who are working in microfinance, in women empowerment, healthcare. What we do is we pick up 3 sustainable development goals as for each program, and we bring in experts from those sectors. So these will be social entrepreneurs, these will be nonprofit leaders, these will be grassroots innovators, and even CSR professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So they will come and tell, inform, like through a training, classroom training, tell the participants about the sector, about the ecosystem, explain them about the problem that they are solving, the best practices in the sector, so that everybody who's a participant is able to understand the information really well. Thirdly, what we do is after the trainings are done, we take them for field immersions. So these are high intensity field immersions wherein the participants will go meet the leaders of nonprofits or social enterprises, tour the facilities, interact with the beneficiaries and stakeholders. This is what we add over here is the entire thing is facilitated through a case study. So it's not just observation, it's actually a case study that the participants are supposed to solve. Brilliant. The reason we have a case study is because it's important to see what is your role as a change maker. If you were a change maker trying to solve poverty, if you were trying to solve hunger, would you take the route of a nonprofit? Would you take the route of a social enterprise or a CSR? So it's a little different from if you look at, there are organizations who bring in people who want to help communities. So they will come maybe build houses, they will come maybe teach children. So there are certain activities that are being done. But our approach is slightly different because these are people who want to have a career in the space. We are just facilitating a better understanding of the models in real life. Cases, mm-hmm. real life scenarios.
So in terms of the people that apply, is it open, like who are you targeting and who is it open to?
So this is open to anybody and everybody who is interested in the social innovation space. They want to transition or they want to deepen their knowledge. But as of now, the target we are looking at is people in the age group of 22 to 27 years old, having completed one degree. Mm-hmm. Who have some experience in the space or are from a corporate experience. They have like 2 or 3 years of experience and now is the time they want to move to the space. So one more thing. So after the trade field immersions are over, the last day is spent on reflection. Mm-hmm. So there are 3 things that people have gone through. They have met trainers, they have met a leadership coach, seen beneficiaries, communities, as well as offices of the organization. So the last day is reflection, which is again facilitated through the leadership coach, wherein the participants decide their next action step. So they have assimilated all this information, tried to solve cases. Now, how do they want to take their career ahead?
And that kind of ends the process and they can take that away with them as when they go home, wherever home is for them.
Yes. So we close the Mumbai, like the on the field program over there. But after 1 month, we have a tracking call. We reach out to them, asking them specifically that, you know, is there anything else that they need help in? Do they, their action steps can be volunteering. Their action steps can be going for a higher degree in social innovation. The action step can be taking up a job. Mm-hmm. So depending on their specific individualized action step, we try to link them to resources that and partners that we already have.
Once they finish the program, there's also an alumni network. There's the other people on the program with them. Are there things that you're planning to do with them to kind of keep engaged and support one another as part of that network?
Yes. So the idea is, from the name, Tribes for Good. So we want tribes of change makers in each and every part of the world. Mm-hmm. So if we have an alumni network, they can easily connect with each other. So for example, if somebody's in London and we have 3 or 4 other people there, they can come together and share their experiences as well as any networking opportunity, any connections that are required.
I love that, and I love this idea that there's going to be these tribes all over in different countries kind of keeping on and supporting one another as they go through their careers as well. That's so important.
So the collaboration is a big thing in the social impact space. Instead of competition, the way you see in corporate world wherein you're competing against different products and services, we see the world as a more we want the world to be more collaborative, hence tribes of change makers who are ready to help each and every person who needs anything, depending on the expertise they have.
Brilliant. No, I love that. So tell us a little bit more about your organization as a social enterprise in itself. How do you kind of generate your income and what's your business model?
So right now the business model is we charge the participants a fee for coming on the program. So that's the primary source of revenue for us. But when we do the field immersions, when we go and meet the local communities as well as the local change makers, there is a part of the fee that goes towards them. So all the local initiatives in India wherein we have partnered with and which are part of the program, a portion of the fee goes to them.
Wow, brilliant. So they have that benefit as well. So there's that wider impact.
Yeah, completely. And apart from this, like in some time, in say 6 months or a year, when we have these chapters, when we have social impact journeys every month, right now it will be once in a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
These social impact journeys, especially the field immersions, will be facilitated by guides who will be from the community, trained by us.
Fantastic. Sort of, you're still relatively new in your own startup phase of the organization. What have been the biggest sort of challenges that you faced being a social entrepreneur yourself and kind of setting up the organization?
So biggest hurdle, like any other business, is customer acquisition. This is common, be it the corporate world or social enterprise space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest hurdle. The second is team, getting the right team together. Because it's very important to have people with similar vision of the organization. If the vision doesn't match, then it becomes a little difficult to retain the team members. So finding the right people who want to be with you till the end.
No, and I think that's so important. We've had previous podcasters talking about that as well, the importance of recruiting. You know, when you're growing your team, it's easy as a solopreneur to kind of, you know, pursue your vision and mission. But once you're bringing in other people, kind of making sure that they're on board with you and, you know, getting that other insight and that challenge, but also kind of going on the same path and not being, you know, pulled in too many different directions, I think it's really important. And in terms of customer acquisition, then, I think that will be really interesting to our audience. How have you sort of overcome that, and how are you working on attracting your target customers?
So this is wherein you need to bring principles of the corporate sector. Since I have worked in the space, it's very easy for me to visualize what is that my customer wants. So the standard process of, you know, making customer personas, seeing who your customer is, where are they, what are they looking for, and which are the channels which will be cost effective for me. So currently for us, what's working is PR. We will be covered in Next Billion soon, so I'm just looking forward to that. That PR really works. Secondly is getting strategic partnerships. So if I look at groups or organizations which are working in similar space, or universities and exchange programs wherein people are already looking to invest in social innovation, get an experience. So such kind of companies really help. Apart from that, you helped me figure out a few organizations like accelerators, international accelerators. So those, and definitely social media. Since we are very young, we don't really have the marketing budget. So free resources like, you know, going to Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups really helps.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that's really helpful, and lots of good ideas there and suggestions for others that will be listening to the podcast. So thanks for sharing that. Because I think that's always one of the biggest challenges, is when you're starting out and you've got a small marketing budget, how do you kind of have a really high impact and kind of get that PR and that awareness out there, you know, quite quickly, so you can, you know, drive those people that you're trying to attract to your business and to you more quickly. So that's brilliant. Thank you for those suggestions. So Mandy, I'd love to hear a little bit more, because you are one of the first guests we've had from India. What is the social enterprise space like in India? And, you know, how involved are you, and what other organizations are out there that maybe we should listen out for or kind of look out for in terms of their innovation and their expertise?
So as everybody knows that the number of people living under $2 in India is very high. So the latest statistics said that around 40% of the world's poor are in India. And also if you look at on the other side, India is now the world's, I think, fifth growing economy.
Mm-hmm.
Still the disparity between the growths is not uniform. Hence, it's important to have social enterprises in the space. The thing that has changed over the last few years is that instead of nonprofits, people are moving towards the model of social enterprises, which are much more sustainable as compared to nonprofits, which are dependent on fundraising. Mainly in the last 3 years, corporate social responsibility has become a mandatory rule, wherein the organizations, corporates have to spend 2% of their revenue or profits, depends on the slab, on CSR.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, hence it has opened up such a huge funding opportunity for nonprofits. So that's amazing. That's a brilliant thing that has happened. Another thing is the government, the ruling party right now, is focusing a lot on sanitation. There has been initiatives that are being run from, like driven from the government, which are getting a lot of investment. Also, the general opinion about those has increased. Like, people talk about sanitation, people talk about segregating dry waste and wet waste, things like that.
So there's sort of some lead from government as well as these sort of legal changes. I mean, I don't think that's the situation in the UK at all. We don't have that legal requirement for companies to commit 2% of their revenue or profit to CSR. So I think that's really progressive in India that that's happening. And really exciting that that's enabling all sorts of initiatives to develop as well.
Yes, and also a lot of India is in rural India, innovation is actually happening from the rural space. So if you ever get a chance to come here, apart from going to the metros, Mumbai, Delhi and Bangalore, you need to come and see a place called Hubli. So a lot of rural innovations are coming from it. So be it education, be it agriculture, be it water harvesting. I went and saw this organization 2 years back. And I was amazed by the kind of things they are coming up with, the solutions that they're coming up with.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. And I think it's exciting to hear how those innovations are different in different countries as well, because the needs are different, you know. The innovations that we might have here in the UK and the new startups and social entrepreneurs will be different compared to maybe what's needed or developed in India for obvious reasons, because of the differences in terms of need. And you know, the solutions that need to be founded for that. So that's really exciting. And it's really nice to be able to hear that difference that's going on in India as well. So thanks for sharing that. So what does the future look like for Tribes for Good? And where do you see this going over the next few years as you launch? You know, you've just launched your first program, and that's starting next month in May. Although by the time this podcast goes out, it may well be June, so you might have already started. But what's the next 12 months or 5 years look like for you at Tribes for Good, and where do you want to take the organisation? Because I can see all sorts of exciting things. I mean, my brain works like that, just constantly creating new ideas, but I can see there's a huge potential for it. But where are you planning to take it?
Thank you. So what we want to do is we want to have the social impact journeys every month. So right now it's happening in Mumbai. In the next 1 year, we want to expand it to a few more cities in India, Mumbai, Bangalore, and maybe Jaipur or Delhi. Eventually, we want to have social impact journeys in different parts of Asia also. So a few journeys in Sri Lanka, a few journeys in Cambodia, Philippines. But as of now, we want to increase in the number of journeys in India, because our strengths are here, and also it's a population of 1.3 billion. We need so many solutions, and we need so many change makers to actually come and work in the space in India. Another thing which we are doing is we are trying to tap the youth at the right age, because it's very important to sensitize young individuals about poverty and the issues that are facing that our country is facing, and also globally. So we have started guest lectures in universities in India, wherein we are looking at students in the age group of 18 to 22, informing them about the space, because they have no clue. All they think it's just nonprofits and charities. They don't really see it as a you know, as a channel or as a source of any career growth for them, a path they would want to take. So sensitizing them about the organizations, and we have started doing day immersions with them. So these day immersions are half day immersions, field immersion, wherein we take a group of students to a non-profit or a social enterprise office as well as their facilities.
Brilliant.
The future would be in 5 years, if we can have an ecosystem for change makers across the world, that would be something which would be really great.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. I just think it's such a brilliant idea and innovative in its own way. I can see
your words are encouraging.
Good. No, definitely, Mandeep. I think it's a brilliant concept, and the sort of educator, trainer, facilitator in me just loves the idea of bringing people together from different parts of the world to kind of develop their careers in different ways, but in a supportive, encouraging space as well, where they can kind of, and I love the fact that it's immersive, you know, and getting to meet other social entrepreneurs and employees in those businesses. Great, Mandy. Well, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you. Fantastic to hear about everything at Tribes for Good. I'm really excited to hear all the developments. Do you want to tell us, certainly when this podcast goes out, I think you would have just started your first program. So tell us about how people can get involved in the next thing, next programs and opportunities that are coming up.
So all the programs will be updated on the website. So mm-hmm. It's best to go to tribesforgood.com. and fill in the application form over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to contact us. The second thing is you can always find us on social media. So we are on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram.
Brilliant.
And you are more than welcome to write to me at Mandeep, MANDEEP, at tribesforgood.com.
Brilliant. That's so exciting. And is there anything else you want to tell us about or for people to watch out for if they've listened to this podcast and they're interested in finding out anything else other than going sort of on social media or your website?
Sorry, I lost you. Sorry.
Sorry. Is there anything else you want to share? Anything else about what's coming up that you want to tell people about that we've maybe missed out?
Oh, I would love help in, you know, spreading the word. So whoever listens to this podcast, please tell at least 2 people, so that many people get to know about Tribes for Good, as well as Kat, who's doing such a wonderful job in interviewing people like us.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy, Mandeep, and really good luck with everything. I'll speak to you soon.
And thank you so much for your time and the opportunity.